I wonder if you might pray with me and for me this morning. Gracious God, I pray that the words that come out of my mouth might be honoring and pleasing to you. God, that you would give each of us ears to hear what you want us to hear this morning, that our minds might be open to understanding, that our hearts might even be willing to be transformed. Come, Holy Spirit, do what you do, and please, Lord, let me get out of the way. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're in week 4 of 5 of this Broadway series that we're doing, and what we're trying to do is look for these intersections between faith and art, intersections between faith and life. My desire is that your faith would not just be a Sunday thing, that you would look for your interactions with God, that you'd look for those places all throughout the week. My family and I got an opportunity to see another show this week, and I found myself the whole show going, God is all over this. God is revealing God's self in all these places. So I pray that you experience that and see that, whether it be in a piece of art, in a song, in a show, in a conversation, whatever it is, I pray that you feel the movement of God. Now this show, Into the Woods, I saw this in 1998. I went to the University of Virginia, which had a really strong drama department. Tina Fey came out of there, if you want my little claim to fame. She comes back every once in a while. But I had a good friend who was in the drama department, and she said, I'd love for you to come see the show Into the Woods. And I said, what is it about? And she said, I want you to think about like all of the fairy tales of your childhood coming together. And this is kind of post happily ever after. This is after that. There are moments where it gets dark. There's a major quest that's happening. And I will tell you and I will warn you, it is a very long show, but it is a beautiful story. A beautiful story of what happens when folks journey together and walk together. If you've never seen it, it opens up with a baker and his wife. They want to have a child, but a witch has placed a curse on them. They cannot have a child because of this curse. And the witch says, in a moment of like, okay, I might be able to lift it, I will lift this curse so that you can have a child, but you have to bring me 4 things. And this is where the other fairy tales come in. Here are the 4 things that they have to bring. The cow as white as milk that comes from Jack and the Beanstalk. The cape as red as blood that comes from Little Red Riding Hood. The hair as yellow as corn from Rapunzel. And the slipper as pure as gold from Cinderella. So you see where these other characters come in. Probably from fairy tales that you remember from your own childhood. So they go into the woods and they try to barter and trade and trick to get all of the things that they need to get. And actually, by the end of Act 1, people have successfully gotten the things that they need and everything seems beautiful. And you leave Act 1 going, there is hope, there is good. And then Act 2 opens up. In the midst of Act 2, the giant's wife from Jack and the Beanstalk comes down and she is angry. And she starts going after them, trampling over things, taking people out. It really gets a little crazy. And all the characters, after they have made their way out of the woods, are forced to go back into the woods. They have to deal with their fairy tale idealism. They have to deal with, but aren't things always supposed to work out? Aren't things always supposed to be right? And in this moment, they turn on one another. They point fingers. This is your fault. You made this happen. You brought these challenges to us, until ultimately they realize they cannot fight this giant alone. They have to do it in the midst of community. And it is in the midst of community where they recognize that they have the capacity together to do it. Every one of these characters entered the woods with a plan. This is what I'm going to do when I get in there. Now, I want you to try to step into the world of make-believe with me for a moment. I want to invite you to think about life as being in the woods. There are moments in life when you're in the woods where you don't know the next way to go. It's full of twists, turns, mystery, unpredictable paths. And like the characters in Into the Woods, I know the truth is most people in this room, most people who are worshiping today, are doing the very best they can. You're trying to make the best choices. You're trying to make the best turns. You're trying to head into the best places. And some of you, when you've gotten to forks in the road, it's come up about things like, hey, what job should I do? I don't know whether I should go this way in the woods or this way. Maybe you're in the woods and you have a parent who's been failing and a parent who's been struggling, and your parent passes and you go, so what now? Well, how do I deal with this now? Maybe it's choosing your life partner. And you're going, man, I really want to be with somebody, but I don't know about this partner. Whatever it is, whatever decision, life decision, ethical decision you're having to make, in the woods, it can be quite complicated. It can be quite challenging to navigate. And our plans that we went into the woods with may not always be the plans that we come out with. It might not be the way things that we expected things to be. And what I observe in people, I've walked through life with people for so long, when things go ways we don't expect, it can often be incredibly paralyzing. We freeze. We stop. We say, then we can't do anything if we can't do the things. Now, the question I want to ask you today, and I want you to think about for a few moments, is how do we navigate the woods? How do we navigate life when we don't have all the answers? When we don't know the way to do it? You know, we're in a church, and I'm making this connection to God. How do we trust that the God of the universe is actually with us? How do we trust that when we're in the woods, when we're making these big decisions, when we're navigating this way, that we're not doing it alone? That the God who created all actually cares about us. The God who created it all actually loves us. I want to look at this through the lens of James chapter 1 today. If you've never read the book of James in the New Testament, it's one of my favorite books in the whole New Testament. It's a book written by James, the half-brother of Jesus, and it's a book about life's lessons, about how to follow Jesus. It's written to Jewish Christians, so these are people who have converted to Christianity. And it's not written to one specific location all over the Roman world. It's telling these people, how do you navigate life? How do you love your neighbor? How do you care for the poor? How do you walk together? And James gives them some really great ways about how their mouth can get them in trouble, about how their thoughts can get them in trouble, and helping them navigate through this life. So I want to say that if you're looking for a Cliff Notes on how to be a Christian, read the book of James. It will help you. So I want to look at James chapter 1, verses 2 to 6 at first today. It says this, my brothers and sisters, think of the various tests you encounter as occasions for joy. After all, you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Let this endurance complete its work so that you may be fully mature, complete, and lacking in nothing. But anyone who needs wisdom should ask God, whose very nature is to give to everyone without a second thought, without keeping score. Wisdom will certainly be given to those who ask. Whoever asks shouldn't hesitate. They should ask in faith without doubting. Whoever doubts is like the surf of the sea, tossed and turned by the wind. He starts this thing off in a very strange way. He comes at them saying, things are not going to go the way that you expect. And then he goes on to say that challenges should be considered pure joy. How many people wake up in the morning and say, I hope I have some good challenges today? Oh, I'd be really happy if I just got a curveball thrown at me. Oh, it would be joy. I mean, this is really strange, the way he navigates this, the way he talks about this. Consider it pure joy. The characters in this musical, as they head into the woods, as they make decisions, their choices often lead to unintended consequences. Giant steps disrupt their lives. Happily ever after of Act 1 falls apart in Act 2. And this passage from James reminds us that these trials that we come into, these trials aren't a sign that we've taken a wrong turn. Friends, I cannot tell you the number of times someone has come into my office and they have said to me, I have cancer. I wonder what I did. My marriage is falling apart. I wonder why God is punishing me. I just lost my third job. What am I paying for? I don't know what it is in our Western culture that over and over again, people assume that God is a God that causes pain towards us. Friends, I want to say clearly this morning that I don't think God sends us pain. I think the woods bring us pain. I think the world can bring us pain. Sometimes our choices can bring us pain. But I don't think that God is a God that sends us pain. Why? Look at James chapter 1, verse 3. After all, you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Let this endurance complete its work so that you may be fully mature, complete, and lacking in nothing. It's saying get some endurance because life will be hard. Life will be challenging. And I love how this passage pushes us to recognize that we can't do it all on our own. When someone comes into me and they're having marital problems, just one person, and they say, I'm trying to fix this. You know what I say? You can't fix your marriage on your own. When somebody comes to me and says, the company that I work for is falling apart and I need to save it, you cannot save your company on your own. Parents come in. My child is really struggling with this thing. They've gotten to this place in life. Friends, I don't think we can save our children on our own. I think the message that we get from James is that this is a community thing that we walk together in. And it's not, frankly, until often we can get to these places where self-reliance has to be diminished for us to recognize our need for God and for others. I mean, look at verse 5. But anyone who needs wisdom should ask God, whose very nature is to give to everyone without a second thought, without keeping score. Wisdom will certainly be given to those who ask. Whoever asks shouldn't hesitate. They should ask in faith without doubting. Whoever doubts is like the surf of the sea, tossed and turned by the wind. I love this part. If you need wisdom, if you're at one of those tree inflection points, ask God. God will give it to you. God will offer it to you. And God doesn't care if you asked last time and then didn't listen. God doesn't hold a record of wrongs. God isn't sitting there going, well, I'm not giving any advice today. You know, as a parent, I often am like that. Well, you didn't listen to me last time. But God says in this passage, James says, God is not like that. God is not keeping this list of, well, you didn't do it. See, the problem with the characters in the story is they get a lot of bad advice and then they listen to it. That happens in your life and in my life too, doesn't it? People come up to us and they say, you should do this. You should do the same. And it goes completely against your value system. It goes completely against the things you care about. And you're like, yeah, but it might feel good. It never feels good. It never, ever feels good. James says you don't have to live your life that way. You don't have to live your life like the musical. We have an open invitation from God. When we get lost in the woods, God will give wisdom to us. Now, there's a really important thing. God will not shame us when we bring that thing to God. So many people come to me and I say, have you prayed about it? No, I don't want to tell God that. Hey, guess what? God knows. Yeah, but then I might have to say it out loud. You could say it quietly and God still knows. It's not about shame. God is not holding that shame over you. If you come from a tradition that suggests that God is a God of shame, I think we've completely missed the boat. We've completely missed the point. Here's what I will say. To listen for the voice of God and to experience the voice of God, we have to come with some sort of humility. Maybe I don't have all the answers. Maybe I don't know all the things. Maybe I don't know exactly what I'm supposed to do. The text tells us that to come to God and to ask God for help doesn't mean that you have to have perfect faith. It does mean we have to be willing to listen. It does mean we have to be open to what God might say. It does mean that we have to pause. I remember years ago, and I don't know if I was at a marriage seminar or what we were at, or if I just heard it on the radio, but there was some great marriage advice. Somebody said, when your partner comes home and they've had a bad day and they want to tell you about it, before they get started, you should ask a question. Do you want advice? Or do you want me to commiserate with you? You know how many times about halfway through the conversation my wife has reminded me this is a commiseration time. This is not advice time. I think our relationship with God is the same way. When we give it to God, the question is, do we just want God to go, yeah, life sucks, doesn't it? Or do we actually want God to give us some sort of direction? And if you're a little kid in here, I'm sorry, I just said that word. Or do we really want God to give us some sort of direction? Do we want to head in that direction? Do we want to hear the voice of God? Do we want to listen for it? And then look at verses 13 through 17. We're going to jump a little bit because it's so, so cool. The story doesn't end with that. It says this, no one who is tested should say, God is tempting me. This is because God is not tempted by any form of evil, nor does he tempt anyone. Everyone is tempted by their own cravings. They're lured away and enticed by them. Once those cravings conceive, they give birth to sin. And when sin grows up, it gives birth to death. Don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good gift, every perfect gift comes from above. These gifts come down from the Father, the creator of heavenly lights, in whose character there is no change at all. He chose to give us birth by his true word. And here is the result. We are like the first cropped from the harvest of everything he created. I think this is so important, y'all. God will not tempt you. God is not trying to harm you. God does not want pain for you. But look what it says God does want. Every good gift, every perfect gift comes from above. These gifts come down from the Father, the creator of the heavenly lights, in whose character there is no change at all. God wants good for you. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. And that song that they did from the show, No One Is Alone. Not only is no one alone because God is with you, because God wants to journey with you, because God will walk with you through the treachery of the forest. No one is alone because of the church. Like, we are called to walk alongside each other. And listen, if you're here today and it's your first time or it's your 10,000th time and you go, I feel alone, I want to invite you when this service is over to walk across to that connection corner. And I want you to talk to Pastor Marcel and say, I feel alone in my life, because no one should feel alone. No one should be alone. We are called to journey together, to walk together, to encourage one another, to push one another in the midst of community towards every good and perfect gift. You are not alone in the woods. And your choices, the paths that you've chosen, don't disqualify you from the love of God. There's not one path that you could have taken that disqualifies you from the love of God. God loves you deeply, and God's grace and mercy, which I'm going to talk about next week with Les Mis, is greater than anything you could have done, any action you would have taken. And here's the really good news about this whole thing. You don't have to stay in the woods. You don't have to always be in the woods where you can't see where you're going. One of the prayers that you can offer is for God to get you out of the woods for a season. Give me a little bit of fresh air. Give me a breather. Let me see, God, where you're calling me to be. And remember, maybe above all things, that every good and perfect gift comes from God. God wants good for you. God wants to direct you towards things that bring you life, towards things that bring you goodness. The question is, will we listen? Are we humble enough to allow God to do it? I pray so. Amen.